Well, morning, everyone. I'll introduce myself again. My name's Steve. I'm usually down at St John's, but it's just really lovely to be here this morning, so thanks for having me. I hope I do the psalm justice now that I know it's your favourite one. Before I start one, I pray for us. Father God, thanks so much for the Bible. Thank you that you speak to us through it and you change us through it. And Father, please, as we look at it this morning, would you do that? Please speak through me and help us all to know and love Jesus better because of this passage. Amen. How would it feel for someone to know every single thing about you, even your deepest, darkest secrets? In just one or two words, tell the person that you're sat next to or near to how that would feel. And yes, if you're married, you might already feel like that might be the case. Okay. Now, how would it feel? And again, if you're married, this might already feel like it's the case. How would it feel to have someone with you every single place you go? Even when you're at your best, even when you're at your worst. Again, just one or two words, tell the person next to you how that would feel. Okay. Now, how would it feel if that person, in both instances, was the creator of all things and the judge of all things? In the week or so running up to me standing here in front of you now, I did a poll, primarily among believers, to ask almost that exact question. The question that I actually asked was, do you think that the fact God is everywhere and knows everything is a good thing or a bad thing? Just think about that by yourself for a second. Do you think that the fact God is everywhere and knows everything, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Which way do you lean? You see, the results were really interesting. The initial results, not surprising at all. 90% of the people I asked said they thought it was primarily a good thing. 10% said they thought it was a bad thing. But even more interestingly, just shy of half the people who said it was a good thing said, yes, it's a good thing, but... it's a good thing, but it makes me uncomfortable. It's a good thing, but it's kind of scary. It's a good thing, but it makes me feel guilty. It's a good thing, but that depends on how good I've been. It's a good thing, but it depends on how good God really is. I wonder if you can relate to any of those. It's a good thing, but... see, there's something about the concept of it that has us a little bit split. We know deep down that it's a good thing, don't we? We know that it is. But there's a little part of us that really doesn't like it. And I think we all know why that is, don't we? If God is everywhere and knows everything, that means he sees us at our worst in both thought and action. He is there every time we sin. He is there when we deliberately turn away from him. He is there when we pretend not to know him. But as we read this psalm, as we had it beautifully read a minute ago, this song written by David, we don't see any buts at all. There is no doubt that this is a good thing in David's mind. Did you see the tone of the song? It isn't written in fear or guilt. It's a song written out of love for God and his relationship with his people. He starts off his song in verse 1 to 6. If you've got it in front of you, it might be helpful for you to have a look at it as well. He starts it off in verse 1 to 6, the first verse of the song, if you will, talking about the fact that God knows everything and what that means, not just for him, but also for believers as a whole. The Lord has searched us and knows us personally in verse 1. The Lord has scouted out the road ahead and prepared where we're going to lie down in verse 3. He knows all of our ways and every word we're going to say in verse 4. He walks behind us and ahead of us and lays his hand gently upon us in verse 5. And the knowledge of this is absolutely mind-blowing in a good way to David in verse 6. See, David doesn't see the fact that God knows everything as an invasive thing. It's not like one of those superhero or sci-fi TV shows where the one who can read minds is infiltrating people's thoughts for purely their own benefit. No, he describes it in such loving language. He describes a God who is like a father who gets up while it's still dark, when it's snowy and cold outside, and clears the drive and the road to make sure they've got safe passage off the road. Like a close friend who knows your every move and isn't surprised in the slightest with what you've said or done. Like a parent who gently comforts us and keeps us safe. He's not terrified of it. He's not even vaguely worried about it. The knowledge is too wonderful for David to comprehend. And as we keep going through this song, I'm hoping that we begin to catch just a little glimpse of that. David has sung about how God knows everything, and now he goes on to sing about how God is everywhere. Now, we've all lived with someone else, at one point or another, whether it be your parents, whether it be your other half, better or worse, depending on which way you see it, or maybe you've just lived with a friend. And I don't know if it's just me that does this, and I'm inclined to think that it's not. And I don't know if it's mainly the male population that do this, to which I'm inclined to think it is. But there's usually two types of people who live in a house. One who is keen to keep things tidy, and one who's aware that the other one likes to keep things tidy, and therefore does so out of obligation to kind of keep the peace and keep them happy. You get one guess to work out which one I am. But here's the thing that I've realised I do with Georgina, my wife. I wonder if anybody else does it in their home. When Georgina leaves the house for the afternoon, she'll give me a list of jobs that she would be appreciative if I were to complete. And she says, I'll be back at, I don't know, 5 o'clock. She heads off out. I assure her that it won't be a problem for me to get those things done, and everyone's happy. I then spend 95% of my afternoon watching TV, playing games, sitting at the piano, whatever it might be that's not what I'm meant to be doing. I can see that some people can relate already. And then about 40 minutes, half an hour before she comes back, I then run around like a headless chicken, trying to do all the jobs that she's asked me to do so that when she gets back in, I've seemingly been very productive. And all the jobs are done. Now, why is it that I do that? Why is it that some of you definitely do that as well? Well, it's because for that period of time, she's not there. She doesn't know what I'm doing any more than I know what she's doing. And to be perfectly honest, I wrongly take advantage of that. But that's not something we can do with God. He's not someone who can be taken advantage of because he's got his back turned. We can't pretend to him that we've done better than we have because he's everywhere and he knows. Just have a look down with me if you've got it in front of you, verses 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The light will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. There is nowhere that God cannot go. He is in the highest places, he is in the lowest places, he is in the farthest side of the sea, and even the darkest place cannot hide you from God, because he sees darkness just as we see light. And there's a little element to which I find this a little bit amusing, to be honest. I work in a decent sized hospital. It's got about 8,000 staff in total, obviously not all working at the same time. And it's got five floors. My team covers seven different wards, which are spread around the five floors and go from literally one end of the hospital to the other. And yet somehow, every single day, no matter which ward I'm working on, no matter which floor I'm on, or what time of day it is, there are a certain couple of people that I just keep bumping into. I feel like saying, are you following me or something? You're literally around every corner I go across. And I'm sure there's been plenty of times where you can relate to that as well. But do you see what I mean? David here is literally saying, there is nowhere I can go where you are not there. And going back to my poll results, surely this is one of the main areas where we're thinking it's a good thing, but. But let's delve into the reasons for that a little bit more. Why is it that we're nervous for God to be everywhere and see everything? Well, it's because we're sinners, isn't it? We know that we keep on messing up. And the idea of God being there to see that is genuinely sickening, isn't it? But again, why is that the case? What kind of God is it that we worship? What kind of God is it that we see time and time again in the Bible? Well, to start with, let's use the passage we've got in front of us. Have a look at verse 10 again. David doesn't say, even there you're still watching. No, he says, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. This God is our leader and our guide, the one who lays his hand gently upon us back in verse 5. The one who holds us fast and never lets us go. And what about in the next verses from verse 13 onwards? He is the God who knitted us together in our mother's womb. He didn't just throw a few bits together and hope it turned out all right. He lovingly knitted us together. He took his time with every single thread. And he looked down at us once he was finished with nothing but love. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in verse 14. And we should absolutely praise the Lord for that, because all his works are wonderful. And that includes you. He knew us and he loved us before we were even born. Such is the extent of his love and his everywhereness. I mean, we're getting a pretty beautiful picture of the God of the Bible from this passage already, but what about further afield in the Bible? Well, the most famous verse in the Bible is pretty convincing, isn't it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is a sacrificial God who is willing to do anything to save those who put their trust in him. And the even more amazing bit of this is that when we put our trust in Jesus, when we believe and trust in him, when we ask him to forgive us and to be the king of our lives, Romans chapter 8 tells us that there is no condemnation for us for our sins, past, present, and future, because of Jesus. That means that even in the exact moment when we are turning away from him, In that moment when we are actively sinning, in the moment when we are actively trying to push him away, yes, he is right there. There is nowhere we can hide. But if we've put our trust in Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, and accepted his invitation to us to come into his family, then we are made new. Jesus has taken our sins upon himself, and he has given us his righteousness. Which means that when God the Father sees us, he doesn't see our sinful, imperfect selves. He sees his perfect Son, who has transferred his righteousness onto us. So if you believe and trust in Jesus, then remember this. Yes, God is everywhere and knows everything about you, even when we're sinning. But this is the God who leads us and guides us. The God who knows us and loves us from before we were born. The God who knows exactly what we're like down to a T. The God who sent his only Son to save us from our sin and rejection of him. The God who looks at our imperfect, sinful selves and sees his perfect, righteous Son because of the sacrifice Jesus made. If we believe and trust in Jesus, the fact that God is everywhere and knows everything is nothing but a good thing. And our fear of that only demonstrates that we, as a whole, and myself included, haven't quite grasped how good God really is. And it's that knowing who God really is that allows David to make this plea for change towards the end of the passage, verses 19 to 24. It's a plea for change, both for the world and for himself. You see, even though God is everywhere and knows everything, even though he knows every word we're going to speak before it's even on our tongue, back in verse 4, David knows that God is a God of relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. A God who, even though he knows what we need, delights for us to come and ask him for it anyway. And so that's exactly what David does. And it's exactly what we should do. He prays that God would deal with the wicked because he knows that God is just and fair and right. He asks that those who oppose God would be sent away from him. And he finishes this psalm by echoing the way he started it, by asking that God would continue to search him and know him. That God would continue to try him and know his thoughts, and that he would continue to lead him and guide him in the way everlasting, the way of Jesus. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not sure about this, if you're not a Christian yet, you haven't put your trust in Jesus, doesn't this God sound like a God who's worth following? And if you've not yet done that and you want to, don't wait. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for him to search you and know you. Ask him to be the king of your life and to lead you in the way of everlasting life. And if you do that, make sure you tell someone afterwards. And if you are a believer this morning, if you have put your trust in Jesus, why not pray that every day? That the Lord would search you and know you and lead you in the way of everlasting life. So let me finish with the same question I started with and see if anything has changed. Do you think that the fact God is everywhere and knows everything is a good thing or a bad thing? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how good you are. Thank you for the depths of your love for us. The way you lead us and guide us. Father, please keep searching us and knowing us. Please test us. Test and know our anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive ways in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen.